According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. So writes Paul in 1 Corinthians, and it's the text that I was drawn to as I'm now concluding this series on call, on listening for and following each of our own calls. So this is the last one, even though the season of Epiphany isn't quite over, because the four Northern Marin Episcopal churches are doing a pulpit swap next week, which we're doing now once a quarter. So you get to hear Kirsten next week, which is a foretaste of what our experience will be like during the month of May when we move our entire operation over to Nativity and get to combine with that good community for a month. But here it is. We're in our home church, and we're continuing to reflect on call. Now, the first sermon that I preached in this series was really straightforward. It was the calling of the first disciples, and I noted that we could be a little bit jealous because in their case, it was really straightforward. Jesus showed up, got in their face, and said, "Follow," and they got up and they followed. So that's pretty easy and straightforward. If all of our calls were that simple and direct, it would be easier for us. But alas, that's not the state that we're in. We each have to be a little bit more subtle in the way that we think about call and how we follow it. Now, sometimes it can be confusing and you're not quite sure, but other times things can come with remarkable clarity. My senior year of high school, I remember that I was taking a nap, which was very unusual, but I was taking a nap, and as I was falling asleep, I thought to myself with great clarity, I want to major in philosophy with theater studies. And the next thought that I had was, and then if by chance I become a priest, those two things would be really helpful. Now, as it turned out, I did major in philosophy and theater studies, and I loved it, loved both, and I became a priest. Now, that was unusual at the time because I didn't believe in God then, so I don't know what I was doing thinking that I would be a priest someday, but I had that kind of clarity in that moment. So it was like a flash, coming out of nowhere. Again, Paul writes, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. The reality is that by 1986, when I was a senior in high school, I had had quite a few master builders around me. My parents took me to church nearly every Sunday. The rector of the church where I grew up, John O'Hare, identified me at age 10 as somebody who might be a priest someday. Interestingly, my parents didn't tell me this until it was very clear that I was going to seminary, because they always thought I was going to be a teacher. They didn't want to encourage me. they're now very supportive of my priesthood, but at the time they weren't so sure. I had great Sunday school teachers, Cookie Strange in the fourth grade, Terry Preeb in the seventh grade, Donald Hannon, who led the youth group. Each of these formed me, shaped me. All of them took an interest in me and fed my curiosity and engaged me in serious conversation about real issues around God and what it means to be good. Rosemary Crawford, my high school English teacher, was also very formative. She also engaged my curiosity and got me engaged in theater. And she was also quietly a very faithful Roman Catholic. One of the sadnesses of my life is that Rosemary Crawford was one of a handful of people that I was writing my book for. When I would sit and write my book, I would think of her and think of communicating these things to her. And I got to see her at my high school 25th reunion, and her cancer at that time was in remission. And she died just about 6 months before my book was published. And I sent her husband and her sons a copy of my book and told her that it had been one of my greatest wishes to have her read the book. I would have loved to have known what she would have thought of it and would have loved to have engaged her in conversation. So she was one of those people that laid the foundation so that senior year I'm falling into a sleep and I think to myself, I'm going to study philosophy and theater studies and perhaps become a priest. The reality is that we, you know the cliche about beginner's mind, that's a wise place to be? Well, the same thing's true of laying a foundation. We are always laying the foundation again, always laying the foundation of our relationship with Jesus and all of the other things that help us get clear about what our call might be. Discipleship groups are intended to help us lay that foundation and then eventually to hear and follow a call. The sixth of the seven vows is, by God's grace, I will listen for God's call on my life, confident that I have been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That's a quote from 1 Corinthians, by the way. Entrusting my discipleship group to test and support that call. But working on call isn't the first thing that you do in a group. You lay a foundation. So first, a group becomes honest about where we are in relationship to the seven vows. Next, each person in the discipleship group tells their spiritual autobiography. Only then do we shift to the work of call, because by then we've gotten to know one another and can give one another good advice. This worked beautifully in my own discipleship group. By the time, about a year in, I was sharing what I thought my call might be or what that might be for this next season of my life. Somebody in the group, Don, after I gave my full report, said, "Well, actually, Christopher, I saw you at the Curcio weekend," and there's a really playful element in the Curcio weekend, and so I did a little bit of hammy theater piecing, acting, and he said, "I saw you come alive, so if the next call on your life doesn't include that, I'm not going to believe it." And he's absolutely right. He was absolutely right. So that inspired me to continue to work on Pelican, which is a creative one-man performance piece that I'm slowly developing and will be workshopping at a church near you very soon. So there, helping me discern call. So you have unique gifts, and you are going to come fully alive once you're using those gifts for the glory of God in this season of your life. Welcome to the creative work of hearing and following your call.